So hi Jen, thank you for joining us and being willing to share a bit of your story with us today. Before we start, can you just introduce yourself for us?
Yeah, sure. I'm Jen, I am 30. I'm married to Scott and I've got Thea who is almost 3 years old, and I work as a doctor just in the west of Scotland, going between a lot of the hospitals.
Excellent, thank you. So we really appreciate you being willing to share a bit of your story. We know that brokenness can be a sensitive theme, but we know that you've been through a lot and you're willing to share that experience.
Yeah,
so we look forward to hearing what you've got to share. Can you tell me about a season in your life where you have experienced brokenness?
Yeah, so I think I had a fairly normal childhood, normal upbringing. There was kind of no major issues, no dramas. I was really blessed. I was brought up in a Christian family, went to church every Sunday, went along to loads of youth groups, Bible classes, got saved at a young age, baptised when I was a teenager. And kind of life was really plain sailing, I guess you would say. There was no problems. And then kind of when I was around 16, 17 years old, I was aware that, you know, something was changing a little bit. I was starting to, you know, just have a lot of intrusive thoughts and worries that were maybe a little bit more than just what your average worrier would have. And I started having these thoughts about being good enough, and am I good enough for being at school? Am I good enough for my family? Am I achieving enough? Am I good enough for Scott and his family? And am I up to all these things that I'm saying I can do? But I kind of just, you know, tried to put them to the back of my mind. But then kind of as I turned 18 and was about to move away to university, I had always wanted to be a doctor, and the only university I got accepted to was to St Andrews. And I didn't really want to move away from home, but I didn't want to let that stop me, so I decided just to go for it. But in the run-up to kind of the month before moving away, it became very obvious that I was starting to, you know, feel really ill about this. And it was just sheer worry. You know, I was panicking about leaving my home, about leaving my friends and family and what this new life was going to entail. And like I said, it wasn't really normal levels of worry. It got to the stage where I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, I lost a lot of weight, and it even got to the stage where I wouldn't leave the house. I was so panicked, I got myself worked up and I was having panic attacks, and I just wasn't myself. And when I would go out, I was completely putting on a face, being completely pretending as if everything was okay, but then when I got home, I would just break down, cry, not eat, not sleep. And I was kind of asking God, why is this happening? You know, like, I've got everything going for me here, I'm about to just start the course I've always wanted to do at uni, and, you know, why is this happening? I still went, and over the next kind of the first couple of months at university were just horrific. It should have been a time where I was, you know, full of life and enjoying being a student and being able to study what I'd always wanted to study, but things kind of spiraled out of control a little bit. And I became a bit of a recluse. I couldn't do anything. I was riddled with fear. And I remember saying to God, I was like, what are you doing? What is going on? And it got to the extent, you know, I'd lost quite a bit of weight, and I was starting to get pains in my chest and feeling like I was going to pass out a lot. And I thought, oh, you know, I better just go to the doctors just to check in case, like, there's something actually going on. And I went to the doctors and they were like, we think you've got anxiety. Obviously they did some tests and stuff, but everything came back as normal, and they're like, I think you've got anxiety. And I remember walking back from the GP that day and just thinking, nah, like, that's, I don't have a mental health issue, I'm just a bit worried, like, that's not what causing it. And I got back to my little room in the halls, and I hadn't really read my Bible since moving to uni, because I had a kind of strange relationship with God, and that I still believed in him, I still had faith, but I was really struggling with what was going on. And I remember I just didn't know what to do, and I went into my drawer and I took out my Bible, and it was probably the first time that I'd read my Bible in a while. And I just went to where the little tab had been from the last time I had read, and it was Philippians 4, verse 6, and it said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind's in Christ Jesus. And that was like a punch in the face just reading that. And I was like, okay, I'm anxious, I have anxiety, but I need to trust God that he's made me like this. He obviously has a reason for me being like this, and I just have to trust him. And kind of just accepting that was a big step. And it got to the point where things didn't really get much better, and I ended up going on medication for my anxiety. And I think that's something that potentially has a lot of stigma attached to it, but for me it got to the stage that that's what I needed to function. And you know, the times I've been on that for like 12 years now, and the times where I've been at my worst with my anxiety is when I've tried to come off that medication. And you know, I just think God's made me like this. If I had asthma or something like that, and I tried to come off the medication for my asthma, if a patient said that to me, I'd be like, what are you doing? You're crazy. So for me, it's about accepting that God's made me like this, and this is part of my story. And whether that's to try and help other people with anxiety, or whether it's just to, you know, reach out and help people who suffer with various mental health issues, then I'm accepting of that, and I trust that this is God's plan for me, and just to keep trusting and keep going.
That's amazing. I think what stood out to me was your courage. You know, I still went anyway, that first point. You know, and I, knowing you personally, that's what I see in your life. You know, you're courageous, and you step out regardless of how difficult things are. And again, just that denial, isn't it? You're saying, I've not got mental health problems. Yeah. And I think for Christians especially, that can be a massive thing and a massive barrier. So
yeah, I think a lot of the time, you know, it's almost not frowned upon to have anxiety or depression, but I think there's this kind of almost attitude that, well, you know, just trust in God, it'll be okay. You know, don't be anxious about it, don't worry about it, just trust God. But it's an actual chemical imbalance. There's a chemical abnormality that causes it. It's not lack of faith. And I think that's something that I find really important to get over to, like, other Christians that struggle with mental health. It's absolutely not a sign of a lack of your faith. It's a health condition. And it's important to have that acknowledged and be okay with it. It's okay as a Christian to not be okay. Absolutely, God is going to help you, and he's going to see you through that. But it's still okay to get help.
And I think that's really important. And I think coming from someone who's a Christian and a doctor, do you know, you have that insight, you know medically what's going on, but you also have experienced it yourself. So, you know, I'm sure that will be really encouraging for people to hear and to know that that is truth, and that that's been your experience, and that you can recognise the help that your medication has brought, but ultimately your faith in God has sustained you through that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So how would you say God has brought beauty from that season?
I think it's mostly just to trust him. I really used to beat myself up. I was completely ashamed of having a diagnosis of anxiety. And it kind of circled into, you know, for a time making my anxiety worse, because it's, you know, what are people going to think of me? Like, what are my family going to think? What are, like, people that I work with going to think? Because I think as much as people are trying to, you know, reduce stigma associated with mental health, I think firstly as a Christian, and also secondly as a medic, it's still quite difficult. And I think what God has taught me is it's okay to be open about it, because the one thing I've found by opening up about it is that there are so many people who struggle with this kind of thing that you would never know about. And I think that was what was important for me, because people would always look on and think, you know, I'm bubbly, I'm happy, I'm just get on my life, there's nothing going on. But behind doors, I was really struggling. And that's made me aware that that could potentially be the case for other people who, on the surface, they appear fine, but they might be really struggling. And I think what God's taught me is to be open about it, because perhaps this is the reason that he's made me like this, so that I can try and help other people if possible, just by being open about it and sharing my experience. If I can, you know, just be able to go out for a coffee with somebody and sit and chat with them, then that's fine. That's what I want to be able to do.
And that's absolutely beautiful. Do you know, that is something you think, I think for a lot of people behind closed doors, like you say, so isolating, things like anxiety can be so gripping, depression, you know, lots of mental illnesses so gripping that hold people down. And that fear of judgment, that fear of shame or condemnation can hold them back. But what you're saying is you've been there, and instead of staying silenced with it, you're willing to speak out, and you're willing to say, look, this is me, this is my story. And through doing that, that opens doors for people to say, if it's okay for her to say it, it's okay for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really encouraging. And yeah, we're really blessed that you're willing to do that. And I know you've already helped many people, and I'm sure you'll continue to do so. Recently, you've experienced some intense heartbreak. Is that something you feel you can tell us about?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a planner. I'm one of those really annoying people that if something's happening in a week's time, I'm going to text you, be like, what's the plan, what we do? And I kind of had this plan set out for my life, what I thought was going to happen. So I was going to finish uni, then get married, and then maybe around 27, 28, have my first child, and then maybe, you know, around 29, 30, have my second child. And everything was going to plan. I graduated, got married. I had Thea when I was 27, and the plan was, you know, just to kind of go back after mat leave, do maybe another year and a bit of training, and then go off on mat leave again. And everything was going to plan. I found out the day before my 30th birthday that I was expecting our second baby, and everything was fine. Went to the 12-week scan and had what was seemingly a perfectly healthy little baby. And then the week before my 20-week scan, got home from a shift at work, and there were just some signs that maybe something wasn't quite right. But I had done obstetrics in the past and was really aware, you know, like women have some cramping and some different signs and things like that. And it's obviously nothing to worry about, and it's most of the time fine. So I said to Scott, look, I'm going to go down and get checked out. I'll be back in a couple of hours. I'm sure everything's fine. And went down, and within half an hour of being there, was told that there was no heartbeat. And it was awful. I think when you're not expecting it, and there's not really any sign of anything going wrong, you just think, what's happening? And I just remember thinking, God, what are you doing? Like, why? And it wasn't really, why is this happening to me? Because it is a common thing, and again, it's something that's possibly happened to more people than you know, and nobody talks about it. But I just didn't understand what was going on. You know, to me, the timing of everything and the way it was all working out with work and the gap between Thea, to me, it was perfect planning.
Mm-hmm.
But it obviously wasn't God's plan. And the couple of days after finding out we'd lost the baby was just the most horrendous 48 hours I think I've ever had to go through, because everything happened really quickly. So like, I phoned Scott and I said, you need to come down to hospital. And then an hour later, you've got a bunch of papers in front of you, and they need you to legally sign that they're going to give you a medication to let your body know you're not pregnant anymore. And then the next morning I went into labour, and then that night, the Monday night, I gave birth to Sam. And you just, I think having had Thea, you're aware that, you know, you have your baby, and then everybody waits for the cry. And then knowing that there wasn't ever going to be a cry, and it was heartbreaking. It's probably the only way to describe it, but God was with us. We had an hour where we just sat with Sam before we left the hospital, and it was so peaceful. And I just remember saying to Scott, I was like, I'm so aware that people are praying for us. And I was just like, I'm so aware that people are praying for us just now. We just felt such a peace. And although it was something really tough over the next, you know, few months and things, God made his plans so clear. And I remember when I got home, and I was just, we found a podcast by John Piper, and it was about how God creates some babies that aren't meant to be in this world. God makes them for him. And That was such a comfort. And I still find a lot of comfort from that podcast. And we've accepted that this is God's plan. Like I said, God's really shown his plan clearly in the last few months. I think that's maybe why I'm crying, because I've not cried about it in a while. But we have a peace. Like, this obviously wasn't our time to have another baby. And that's something I think people find it strange when they ask, you know, how we're getting on. And we're like, well, we're actually okay, because we've accepted that this is God's will, and this is where we are. And just kind of 2 weeks after I delivered Sam, a job opportunity came up, and I remember thinking, God, what are you thinking? Like, there's absolutely no way I can apply for a job at the moment. And there were so many barriers in my mind to this job, and one by one those barriers fell down. And I was just kind of like, I'm gonna have to apply for this job. And it's a job that doesn't come up very often. It's in a specialty that I was interested in, and God made it really clear that this was what I was to do. And long story short, after kind of 4 or 5 months, I found out that I'd got the job, and it was almost like God was saying, this is the plan I have for you just now. And I've prayed to God. I said, you know, I'd still really have rather had Sam than the job, but it's about trusting his plan. And that's what I'm going to do. I've accepted the job, and I just have to accept that this is where he wants me to be, and just keep trusting.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know it's not easy. And you know, you're apologizing for crying. I don't know why you're apologizing. I'm sure, like me, there'll be a lot of people with tears in their eyes. What you went through is hugely traumatic and emotional and upsetting and a huge loss. And yet within that, you're still able to trust. And I just think that's so inspirational. You know, even in the midst of the hardest time, you felt God's peace. And I think what an encouragement for people, you know, no matter what we face, no matter how hard things are, we can trust that he won't leave us, that he won't forsake us. And that's the promise he's given us, and he holds true to. I think as well, you talked about making your plan, and you know, isn't there a scripture that says we make our plans, but he directs our steps?
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
You know, human nature, we all make our plans. I think it's natural, isn't it? You try and think that he'll do this, then he'll do that, but ultimately trusting that he'll direct your steps, and that's what you've done. You know, you've applied for the job, even though part of you is thinking, I've got enough on my plate, you know, I don't want to be thinking about this. But again, you showed that courage and you said, okay, God, you were faithful to what he told you to do. And I think God's really honoured that, you know, and I think you're so modest, and so you don't always sell exactly how amazing you are and how amazing your achievements are. But I know that there was 270 people that applied for that job. There was only 2 jobs in our area, and it's one of those jobs that you secured, you know. And I know that you're amazing, but more than that, I know your God is amazing. And that's the God of miracles. That's the God that works all things for good for those who love him. And so thank you for sharing that. I just really appreciate it.
No, thank you for asking.
So in closing, just before we finish, you had already been through some difficult times before your experience with Sam.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you could draw on from those times that helped you when the next trial came?
Yeah, absolutely. I think having been through lots of things with anxiety and mental health, the one thing that I could hold on to was that God is good. Although I'd had some pretty rubbish times, it didn't matter what it was, there was so much good that always outweighed the struggles. There's a verse in John that is one of my favourite Bible verses, and I think it's John 16, it's verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then there's another amazing set of verses in Romans that I just wanted to share. So Romans 5 verses 3-5, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And those are two sets of verses that I carry all the time. It's easy when something goes wrong in life or there's a tough spell in life to question God. And I think it's okay to question God, but just to keep trusting him. And God has brought me through every single trial in my life so far. And the most recent one was epitomised by his peace and his love and him just showing himself to us. Scott and I have definitely been brought closer as a result of it. Our faith is stronger. And I think that sometimes when you're in the difficult times that your faith is at its strongest because you just cling to God. So absolutely, just trials have strengthened my faith, and I know that if I go through other trials, the outcome will be the same. God will be with me, and he's never going to let me go.
And that's a beautiful way to end, you know. I think to finish with scripture, to finish with the promises of God, that he will bring us peace, that he won't let our trials be wasted. And I hope that that's an encouragement for all the ladies that will be with us today and hear this message, that whether they're in the first difficult season, whether they've been through numerous trials, the promises are still the same. And we can rely on the word of God that tells us that he is faithful, that he loves us, and that he'll never leave us. Absolutely. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you.